This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9. Bent Notes is our weekly jazz program going to air each Sunday night.
G'day, David Moyle here with our special guest on Bent Notes. He is the CEO of the Melbourne International Jazz Festival. He has led the organising team on a very different path this year to what is usually done. And with such a different environment around the world, Hadley Agrez has overseen the creation of a brand new way of celebrating jazz and contemporary music, and keeping, of course, our international jazz links active in the online offering of these digital times. It is my great pleasure to wish a very warm welcome back to Bent Notes, Hadley Agrez.
Thank you very much, David. That's the lovely intro.
It has been a couple of months since we've spoken, but you've been very busy in those times.
We have. Very busy and very happy to be delivering live and some pre-recorded music experiences still.
And it's been a great experience, I think, from the viewers, the listeners' perspective. What was the response like to the first edition back in May?
May was a particularly strong response, I think. You know, it feels like an age ago now, given the way time warps in these current conditions. Certainly, you know, people were still starved for content and were really looking for any kind of chance to see live music again, particularly live jazz. And I think for the first one, we've had over 15,000 views of the various concerts and performances. So a really overwhelmingly positive response.
How does that compare to the number of attendees you'd normally have in the regular festival?
Well, look, to be fair, this is a free series, so it's hard to gauge, but typically in the festival overall, free and ticketed events, we look at about 45,000 attendees. So I think it's really positive from that point of view. And one of the great things for us is it's not just restricted to those that are in Melbourne or that have travelled to Melbourne. We've got such a wonderful international audience joining us this time from, you know, literally the four corners of the globe, from the Philippines to Argentina to the States to Italy, you know, right across the globe, which is wonderful.
That is absolutely superb, Hadley, to have the interest in little old Melbourne town around the world. Would those people be musicians themselves, do you reckon?
Oh, look, I don't know. I imagine some are. I imagine some are just obviously fans of music. And I'm sure some of the wonderful international guests we've had so far have helped attract some of that content, but certainly some of the local talent as well. And I think it's a fabulous chance for particularly the international audiences, but really all our audiences, to see the strength of the music and the jazz scene here in Melbourne, because that's been a real positive from our point of view so far, is being able to highlight so many Melbourne artists.
It has been a superb look as well, and it's been looking very smooth, it's been very relaxed, and it's looking very organised. Has that been the case behind the scenes as well?
Oh, look, it's always smooth behind the scenes, David. No, but for the most part, it really has been. We've been really lucky working with, obviously, the great team we have internally, but also our partners on the production side of things, ALV Studios, who've done a really fantastic job at their end to bring all this to life, and work with us to operate, you know, seven different cameras and, you know, multiple, all sorts of chaos in the control room. So we're lucky to have them, and it actually has been a very smooth process, given it's certainly not our usual form of delivery.
Exactly. What's the highlights been so far for you, Hadley?
For me, and this is now, I just get to be subjective, I suppose.
You do indeed.
Certainly the two album launches that we've had, one in each session so far. Andrea Keller's Five Below, launching their most recent release, was fabulous last time.
That looked superb and sounded great.
No, I couldn't wait to get home and purchase that album, so I encourage everyone else to do the same. And the same could be said for Gillian Wilson's Stock in the first iteration as well. Just a beautiful performance, and so good to see those guys on stage again. Really some fabulous performances all the way through, especially depending on your tastes. I mean, I quite enjoy a bit of neo-soul as well, so I remember Kate's performance from May very fondly, and Gretchen Parlato and Mark Juliana. Really just loads all the way through. We're so lucky to have the artists we have.
But of course, the third and final in this year's series is hitting our computers and our streaming television screens next Saturday, July 25, kicking off at 11:30 in the morning, running through until around about 10 at night. It's another great lineup that you've put together, Hadley. I do love the name of the very first group that starts the day, the Junkadelic Brass Band.
That's it. They are good friends from Perth, so they are, you know, able to have all, goodness knows, 10 of them in a room together. They will be doing a great sort of jazz workshop for the whole family.
I see their take on things is a DIY music making.
Very much so. That is their sort of guiding, one of their guiding principles, I'd say. So be prepared to learn how to make a, you know, drum out of a plastic container.
Well, at this point in time, I think it's something that we can all get something out of.
Absolutely. So that will be a nice, fun way to start the day.
It will indeed. You've got a couple of discussion sessions happening. Now, are they targeted at musicians specifically?
Musicians and industry, I would say, particularly early to mid-career, but I think there's something in it for everyone, especially I would suggest the second roundtable discussion is one really for the whole sector. It's a bit more targeted on both the Australian Art Orchestras and the Melbourne International Jazz Festival's Artist Development and Career Pathway programs. So that's particularly sort of interesting for those in the sector that work in that space or are interested in those elements. And the first one probably is a bit more broad, and it is discussing the funding landscape, which right now is as important as ever, obviously, for artists and arts workers.
Very much so. Now, those ones have to be pre-registered, don't they?
They do, but free, like all other events.
Fantastic. You've got Paul Grabowski, a solo performance. That's going to be superb.
I think it'll be beautiful. It's a really rare thing to get to see Paul play alone, I find, these days. So we're thrilled to have him on stage doing his thing.
Which will be great to hear. You've got another solo artist in Vince Abracinati, a piano accordion.
Yeah, which is obviously something we don't often see in jazz or otherwise, to be honest. And certainly the way he plays is not what one typically thinks of when they think of a piano accordion. So please do check that out. It's going to be really, really interesting set. And we're really great, lucky to have had the Italian contribution across all three.
In the media release, he's being talked about as diving deep into psychedelic jazz music. I look a little bit further down and there's another mention of psychedelic jazz with none other than Barney McCall.
Ah, you've detected a theme.
I did. This is the psychedelic section of the festival.
It is, and that's how we're going to bring it home. I'm incredibly excited, I think, about this particular project that Barney will be closing the entire festival series with. It's something he's been working on for some time, and he has recently released a couple of singles from the project, but is, you know, working with some of the guys from Hiatus Coyote and some fabulous vocalists in, you know, Rita Satch and Belle Bancard. Julian Wilson will be joining him on sax. It's a fabulous band, really interesting direction. It's not Barney on a piano. He's bringing his clav, he's bringing his Rhodes, synths. I think it'll be a really interesting and fabulous gig.
He'll take up the entire stage at ALV Studios.
Just with keyboards. So I know.
Exactly.
Social distancing with all of those. Don't worry, though, we are.
Well, the rest of the band can play down on the floor.
It might come to that.
And you've got some more music from the States with Taylor McFerrin and Marcus Gilmore. Interestingly, I read that they're not performing in the same room.
No, this will be the first split screen performance that we'll be having as part of the festival because they're not in the same city, and obviously America is still suffering in quite extraordinary ways, so they are doing the right thing and have worked it out between them, and I'm incredibly excited. It's actually a project for them, or a collaboration I should say, that's been running for three years maybe, on and off. And Taylor, obviously, you know, Bobby McFerrin's son, just has such wonderful kind of jazz and music pedigree running through his veins.
Being described as the next generation of jazz.
Yeah, very much so. Although I think, you know, I think it was 2012 when Taylor was most recently at our festival. So certainly the next generation then and kind of continuing at that vanguard and doing that really interesting sound at the moment that involves a lot of kind of crossover genres. He works a lot with Robert Glasper and that kind of scene in the States. So certainly part of the next generation. And Marcus is an amazing drummer. So between the two of them, with Taylor on keyboards and beatbox and production wizardry, and Marcus's work at the Kit. We're in for a real treat on this concert.
It sounds like it. And we've also got another drummer in David Jones, our own local drummer, playing with Stephen Magnusson and Evripidu.
Evripidu, that's right.
The trio. That'll be interesting, I reckon.
Oh, it'll be fabulous. I think it'll be almost an entirely improvised set, jazz sort of at its finest, with those three involved and masters of their own instruments. But when they get together, it's just a beautiful conversation. I can't wait for that.
And I think that's exactly what it will be. It will be that conversation led by David. He'll be the band leader. And he's such an interesting drummer.
Absolutely. I could listen to him all day.
Yeah.
Such a musical drummer.
And we can't go without mentioning Holly Moore and her sextet. She's part of the Take Note program.
Yeah, thanks so much for bringing it up. It's obviously a program we're very proud of and passionate about at the festival. So for those that don't know, it's a program that was initiated last year, and this being its second year then, to start looking at ways we can address gender equity alongside artist development in the jazz sector in particular. And the wonderful Holly Moore is this year's recipient of the kind of bursary and leading the program as the emerging jazz leader. So she has composed a new work with her sextet to be premiered at this particular iteration. And then later in the year, she'll be hopefully off to schools around the state to run some workshops and do some positive role modeling there and really inspire some of the next generation, and hope that we can bring a whole bunch of new students of all genders through into jazz and to try and find a career in this niche of the music industry.
A very important thing to do indeed. Let's hope that she can get out there and travel around the schools before the year ends. Hadley, it's an amazing program yet again. Variety, and it's such an interesting means of having a festival doing it online. I am missing the opportunity to share the experience with a complete room full of people, but it's so nice to be able to see, as you said before, all these amazing local musicians performing.
Yeah, we all feel the same way one way or another. We're looking very much forward to the day when we can all go back to sort of larger venues or even smaller ones. I know they've had to close again.
Yes.
In the meantime, it is great to just have a chance to profile the talent we have here in Melbourne. What a reminder about how strong it is.
It is indeed. The fact that the programs are available on the website melbournejazz.com for a period of time after each event is also good. Sometimes even go back and actually watch something again and again, because it's so interesting to do. I've done that once or twice so far, which has been absolutely amazing to do. Next week, next Saturday, the 25th of July, starting at 11:30 a.m. with the Junkadelic Brass Band. I'm going to have to watch that, Hadley.
Look, it'll be a lot of fun.
It will indeed. Hadley, thank you so much for your time tonight and for all the work that you and your team have put into creating these three online mini festivals, something that's been completely out of the box, something brand new. They've been a great experience, and as much as we're looking forward to being part of a physical audience, let's hope we can get back there next year. These have been a great opportunity to celebrate jazz in its very many varieties this year.
Absolutely. Thank you, David. And we've loved bringing it to all the people watching from around the world. It's been great.
My special guest has been the CEO of the Melbourne International Jazz Festival, Hadley Agrez. You're listening to Bent Notes on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.